And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured hundredweight and penny pound. When the man comes around.
Four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.
Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB. Glad to have you in here. Got a great program. Tonight, we're going to do part two. Actually, we're going to call it part one because we started on the subject last night. Who are the Gentiles? We sort of had some bad reception around the area, so we thought we might, for your benefit that missed the program last night, we would come back and do this Bible study. We want to make it complete. To give light to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Luke 2:32. Now, what's going on here? To give light to the Gentiles, are the Gentiles somebody other than Israel? Or is Israel now known as the Gentiles? This is an invented word. If you really look at the word Gentile, is not used in any of the ancient manuscripts. So, where'd it come from? Is it a word that just popped up? Webster's dictionary says that the word Gentile, the modern definition, is relating to the nations at large as distinguished from the Jews. But there's something that you've got to know here. If you understand the Bible, the word Gentile is not used in any of the ancient manuscripts, and simply because there's no such word in the Hebrew or the Greek languages, the word Gentile, as used in our modern Bible versions, including the much-beloved King James Version, in the Old Testament, always comes from the Hebrew word goy, which is singular, or goyim, which is plural. It is translated five different ways in the Old Testament. According to Strong's Concordance, goy or goyim, singular or plural, is a foreign nation. Now listen to that. A foreign nation. Something other than Israel. So then, here in Luke 2:32, mark it in your Bible and say, well, that word Gentile has been added. There's no such word in the originals. That he come to give light to his people, to the glory of the people of Israel. They that sat in darkness, that was Israel. That wasn't the Gentiles. He didn't come to the Gentiles. He told us not to go to the Gentiles. Before the command for those to go preach the gospel, there's never a command anywhere that was ever given by the Messiah to go to the Gentiles. Why? Because the word Gentile was an invention of the translators to actually confuse people who generally have been taught in the Christian churches of America that the world is divided into two main religious groups, or two classes of people, Jews and Gentiles. And we've got to bring Israel in there because the house of Yehuda and the house of Israel is two houses. These houses are divided. Everybody wants to say, well, that's the Jews. Abraham was a Jew, Isaac was a Jew, and all that. That's not true. It's just misunderstanding of people's understanding, because they've been taught to believe that there's two classes of people, Jew and Gentile. If you're not a Jew, you have to be a Gentile. And that's not true. You can be out of the house of Judah, or you can be out of the house of Israel. Which house are you out of? Now, where's Israel? That's the $64 question. Israel was scattered abroad, like I said last night, in 721 B.C. and became a lost sheep. Matthew 15:24. Go only I am sent only, go only, unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you say, well, that's the Jews. That's not the Jews. If you go back to Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6, he said, go not unto the goy, or the ethnos, if we go to Greek here, and we're defined Greek. Go not to the ethnos, a particular people, or a particular race. Go not to the Gentiles, but go only to the lost sheep. Meaning that the lost sheep are not Gentiles. You need to see that. That would be one of the most important things you have ever seen in the Bible to help you understand it. When the word Gentile is put in the Bible, you need to pause and go behind the word and take a look at it, exactly what it means. The word nation, which is Gentile or heathen, or nations, or people, or another. The Hebrew word goyim or goyim is never translated to mean a non-Jew. Like people believe that. When they're trained in their brain, you see, this is the problem. When they use that, see that word, well, and I am sent to the Gentiles, Paul said. He didn't say that. That word was never in his vocabulary. Well, I know this. The Bible says salvation is first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. That's all I've got to say, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God. Well, the word goy, the word that people don't know, is found in the Old Testament 557 times. Now, 30 times it's been translated as Gentile. 30 times out of 557 times. Now, if it means the same, then which one would you favor? Goy or Gentile? 11 times it's translated as people. 142 times it's translated as heathen. 373 times, it's translated as nation. And one time as another. But not once is it translated as a non-Jew. It's not to refer, when you read that, your brain automatically goes, oh, non-Jew. Gentile, non-Jew. Gentile, non-Jew. You see how we've been trained to think out of the box? Here you got to get out of the box and take a fresh look. You got to examine some of the specific verses of Scripture in the Old Testament that is using the word Gentile in place of the word nation as used by the translators. It should be remembered that the word goy or goyim was used in every instance in the original Hebrew. And Genesis 12 and 2, I covered this last night, let me reiterate. I will make of thee, Abraham, a great Gentile nation. That doesn't make much sense, does it? Genesis 17, 4 and 5, where the covenant is reiterated. And thou, Abraham, shalt be a father of many Gentiles. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, for a father of many Gentiles have I made you. That ain't what he said. See, the translation, look at this one. This is real plain here. In Genesis 25, And Yahweh said to Rebekah, the wife of Isaac, the son of Abraham, two Gentile nations are in your womb. He didn't say that. One of those children was Jacob. The other was Esau. He loved Jacob and hated Esau. Was Jacob a Gentile? Of course not. You say, yeah, I know what he was. He was a Jew, glory to God. You're right, Pastor Buddy. Yeah, preach it. Preach it, brother. He was a Jew. Jacob was not ever called a Jew anywhere in the Bible. Isaac, nowhere, his offspring, was never called a Gentile. You see, there's something wrong with our thinking, and we get this wrong thinking from wrong translations. We should study to show ourselves a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, workman that rightly divides. Genesis chapter 48, now listen, beginning to bless the two seeds that Joseph had. Joseph was his 11th son. Joseph was not a Jew, and Joseph was not a Gentile. Joseph was an Israelite. Israel, the one that came out of Rebekah, and if you translate it like the translators do and like to do, if they continue suit here, they're going to say, and Rebekah, I'm going to separate the two manner of people that are going to be Gentiles from your womb. Like I say, one of them would have been Jacob. Was he a Gentile? No, he was not. Well, he was a Jew. No, he was not. Was he a Hebrew? Was Jacob a Hebrew? Yes, he was. Was Abraham a Hebrew? Yes, he was. He was not a Gentile. He was kin to the house of Shem, the Shemite. Jacob was kin to the Shemite. Joseph was kin to the Shemite. Even Judah was kin to the Shemite. These two houses, when they vied for rulership, Judah wanted to rule over his brethren, according to 1 Chronicles 2 and 1 Chronicles 5 and 2. But the appointment for the true son to be the firstborn was given to Joseph. And when the Messiah comes, the scepter who Judah had taken by force, he ruled over his brethren after Joseph departed from the clan. He took over. And right there from the book of Genesis chapter 38, we find the unthinkable. We find the great abomination. We find something going on here that we should shout to the highest mountain. Nobody teaches on it. I don't hear anybody teaching on it. And you can believe one thing. I've listened to a lot of messages over the years, and I have preached a lot of messages since I've been a minister, since I was 21 years of age. And I'm now going on 75, so I've heard a few messages. I've studied the scripture quite a bit. Here in the 38th chapter, we find Judah, the Jew, and that's what that word comes, that's where it comes from. And if you believe what they are teaching today. Everything that is a Jew is God's chosen. Everything that is a non-Jew has to be a Gentile. And out of the Gentiles, the Christian church is formed. Ladies and gentlemen, somewhere along the line, something don't add up. Don't make sense, does it? I will make Abraham a great Gentile nation. Does that make sense? We're talking about the chosen seed. Was the chosen seed Jews? Or was it Israel? The house of Israel. You say, well, the Jews are Israelites. No, they're not. You see, there's something again. We have believed a lie, and this confusion comes through a lack of understanding or a lack of rightly dividing the scriptures. And in 48:19, and his seed, Abraham's descendants, shall become a multitude of nations. Does it say a multitude of Gentiles? No, it don't. His seed is not Gentile, because his seed was also Judah. He's the fourth son from Jacob's strength. But he had a problem here. Unthinkable. Unspeakable. Maybe that's why people don't want to preach on it. They're sort of embarrassed about it and try to cover it up and ignore it. But that won't make any sense to ignore the problem. Judah went down and married a Canaanite. I'm going to have to tell you that. As much as it hurts, he miscegenated his bloodline. And he denied the covenant. He made himself separated forever in blood. Now let me repeat that. Forever in that bloodline that he established with his wife, the Canaanite, Shua, when she produced three sons, from the blood line of the Jew, Judah. Now, it didn't make those bloodlines, the first three, it didn't make them Jews. Or did it? Well, if you're going to have Judah to claim the fatherhood, and he did acknowledge to be the father of all three sons. The first one was Er. He was wicked, and Yahweh killed him. Onan was wicked, and he killed him. Shelah, the third son, he was wicked also, because he was a miscegenated blood, a mixed blood, a mongrel, if you'll have it. But Judah, the wise one, made a mistake, because we've got all this problem, and that's the reason I'm teaching tonight, for the lack of understanding of a lot of people, who are deceived by thinking that there's only two classes of people, Jew and Gentile. The word Gentile is not a non-biblical original word. So when you see Gentile, hold it suspect. Rightly divide that. The kind of translation that they use, the translator, it don't make sense. But if you look closely at the King James Version, you will find that the translators use the Hebrew word goy as nations in one place and as Gentile in another. Could it be that they were influenced by the church doctrine? Since the word Gentile never appeared in earlier manuscripts, the King James Version, for instance, was written because King James disliked the footnotes of the Geneva Bible, which was the Bible of the Reformation Fathers and all of the Christians. Even putting his name, replacing the word James in the book of James, and adding his own name. Now, let me give you some more comparisons to sort of show you the absurdity of what I'm talking about. Let us use the same verses now as the modern translations would have used them with non-Jew in the place of tribe or nation. It should be a clear indication of how the modern translators, beginning with the King James Version, changed the meaning of the verses. And they did a great disservice to 99% of the Christians who believe the lie that it's either Jew or non-Jew. Now let me put it in like the translators indicated by using this choice of words. In Genesis 12 and 2, I will make thee, Abraham, a great non-Jew nation. Now, would that make any sense? Genesis again, 17, 4 and 5. And thou, Abraham, shall be father, the father of many non-Jews. For a father of many non-Jews have I made thee. Now let me remind you again that the Hebrew word goy or goyim, meaning tribe or nation, is used every time in the original Hebrew. Genesis 35:11. Two non-Jews are in your womb, Rebecca. He didn't say that. Genesis 48:19, where I just read you the covenant. The seed, Abraham's, this seed shall become a great multitude of non-Jews. This seed shall become a great multitude of non-Jews. You can see now that with a little effort of misunderstanding or misguidance, modern translators using goy to mean Gentile with its meaning of non-Jew don't make very much sense if you apply to that. This is the way most of the preachers preach it, though. You come away believing that if you're not a Jew, you've got to be a Gentile. It's also interesting to look at the grammar that the Hebrew word goy and the five words which are used to translate it into English all are collective nouns. In Hebrew, and as such, it cannot be used to refer to an individual. These words are heathen, nation, tribe, people, or simply put, another. Those are the five times. This means that there can be no such individual as a Gentile. But you'll still hear the Judeo-Christian preachers brag about how they are a Gentile saved by grace. It's neither intellectually stupid or it's very dishonest. Usually it's the first. They're intellectually stupid. Then after you correct them, it becomes dishonesty because they still stay with their tradition. It's very possible that some who read the Bible have got a twisted, brainwashed Christian set of glasses of tradition. Now, the New Testament Christians living in the age of grace and love, the word Gentile does refer to anyone who is not a Jew. Because my pastor said so. Now, if you go to the Bible Authority and the Strong's Concordance, and see how the word Gentile is defined in the New Testament in the Greek, you'll understand that he's deceived you. He hadn't given you the true story. Just like everybody that believes that the Jews are God's chosen people without any discretion, because you could be really talking to somebody with the blood of Judah in their veins and the mixed blood of the Canaanite mother in the other vein, and you got a problem. A little leaven is going to level the whole lump here. We're getting ready for Passover here next month. And we teach the mystery of the element of leavening. A little bit of it will leaven the whole lump. When Judah inserted his seed line into the Canaanite woman, every one of those offspring became illegal. They could not inherit in the kingdom of heaven. I know that you say you're Jews. I know that you say that you are Abraham's children, Christ said. But your father is the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He was a liar from the very beginning, and abode not in the truth. The word ethnos is the most frequent word used to mean race or tribe or specifically a non-Judean. Notice, not a non-Jew, but a non-Judean tribe, by implication, a heathen. Also translated Gentile, heathen, nation, or people. No place does it refer or mean a non-Jew. Are you listening tonight, ladies and gentlemen? Have you been blinded by those preachers that have transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness, preaching tradition? And they have actually took advantage of your lack of knowledge? Where the Bible says if you have a lack of knowledge, you're destroyed for that. Brainwashed. Well, my pastor said that he's only two classes of people in the world, Pastor Buddy, and that's the Jews. That's God's chosen people. Now, I want you to know that right up front. Now, they're God's chosen. They don't have to believe on Jesus or nobody else. Glory to God. They're going to heaven regardless of what they believe. That's not true. That is a lie. One of the big lies that is propped up by a misunderstanding without any proper translation or interpretation or rightly dividing. Go back to Genesis 38 and take these that came out of the loins of a Jew, Judah, placed into a Canaanite illegal wife. Yahweh hated this offspring. The third son, like I said, Shelah, was hid. And Yahweh didn't get his chance to kill this illegal seed. It went down to Egypt and stayed there with the house of Israel as a mixed multitude. Now, I'm going to repeat that. A mixed multitude. Exodus chapter 12, verse 37-38. Now, this mixed multitude, in other words, what you've got, it created a dilemma. It's hard to look at anyone and tell if they've got enough blood from the house of Cain that would be rejected. Yahweh's not going to let one Canaanite blood drop, not one, return to heaven. Keep yourself unspotted. You should never mix, mingle, and those that teach and advocate it are those same people that are guilty of being mixed. Of course, they justify their own self by recommending, through brainwashing and misunderstanding, and it's these Judeo-Christian preachers who give you a daily dose of tradition. And it really hurts and when you have to come back to the truth. Oh, you're a preacher like myself. It really hurts. In the New Testament, the word ethnos occurs 164 times, while the word Elim is used 27 times. Yet in spite of its original meaning, the translators of the King James Version in the 1611 use ethnos as Greek 93 times. As heathen, they use it 5 times. As nations, they use it 64 times. And as people, 2 times. The word Hellene, as translated from the Greek, is Greek 20 times and Gentile 7 times. Now, if you take a close look at the word ethnos and see how it's been translated, notice 2 things here. The definition in Strong's contains the word a race, an ethnos, or a tribe, and the words and their explanation of definition, non-Jew, they got that in there. These are italicized, which indicates that this is an improper use by not being in the original. So once again, when you look in the Old Testament and you see the few verses of how the word ethnos was used, again in Luke chapter 7 verse 5, and the Roman centurion loved our nation. Ethnos. And hath built us a synagogue. Here the verse has been translated correctly to mean nation, since the verse in its context refers to the Judean nation, which was living in Galilee at that time, there would be no argument about how it's used. John 11:48, the chief priests and the Pharisees were speaking, the Romans shall come and take away our place and our nation. Ethnos. Again, the word ethnos has been given its correct meaning, but notice now, it says absolutely about nothing about Jews or non-Jews. It shows that the word ethnos can refer to both Jewish and non-Jewish nations and people. It's never specifically used to mean a non-Jew. And since it's, again, a collective noun, it cannot be used to refer to an individual. In Acts 24:17, Paul was speaking, I come to bring alms to my nation. Ethnos. He was speaking correctly of his Judean nation. He was Roman by birth, if you look at Acts 22 and 25. And there is only one conclusion that you can make, and that this is that the word ethnos should never be translated to mean a non-Jew. Now, look again. Let me go over this again. The word Hellene, translated to Gentile in John 7:35. Here it says, will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles? The word Hellene is used to teach the Gentile. Again, Hellene. Since the word Hellene always refers to Greeks, why did the translators not say, will he go to the Greeks and teach the Greeks? You can see how translators, by changing the original meaning of the word, brings confusion to Bible truth. And you have a mental lapse with the confusion And so, therefore, you misrepresent truth and not really mean to do so. Many of the Judeo-fundamental preachers teach, again, only the two classes of people on the earth, the Jew or the Gentile, and those who are Christians that are saved out of the Gentile. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32 says, give none offense neither to the Jew nor to the Gentile. And here the word was Hellene, nor to the church of God. Give no offense to the Jew or to the Greek. And say to the heathens and all these other nations. Who was Paul writing to? Was he sent to the Gentile? Did he magnify his office? Now, pastors, they really love Paul. They really don't understand what he's talking about. To the Jews first and to the Gentiles. It's created a lot of theological confusion. In the first two chapters of Romans, you find the phrase used three times, to the Jew or to the Gentile. The Greek word Hellene is translated Greek in Romans 1:16. To the Jew first, and to the Hellene, Greek. But in Romans 2 and 9 and 10, the same identical word is used, and it has been translated Gentile, which is incorrect and misleading. See that? Now, who are these people that Christ is intending to regather? Is he trying to go out and gather the Gentiles? When he said himself, go not to the Gentiles. But if you believe he went to the Gentiles and saved them, you deny what he says when he said, go not to them. Because salvation is of the house of Judea and the house of Israel. Not meant to give that which is holy to the dog. If you'll do an honest Bible study, and you read the verse in its context, you'll see that Paul is simply stating the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation, coming first to the Judean, the Jew, and then to the Greeks. And among the Greeks was those Hellenes that were scattered among the heathen or the Gentiles. It has no implication, but many preachers attempt to make it say that the Jews were first in the heart of God, and it don't even imply because Israel was his firstborn, not Jews. Do you think that Yahweh would love the Jews that came out of the blood of Judah from a Canaanite mother? Listen to this. It's a simple sequence of events that the gospel was preached first to the inhabitants of Judea, and we know that many of these were non-Israelites, since the Messiah told the Pharisees in John 10:26, you believe not because you're not my sheep. Then the gospel went to the Greeks in Asia Minor, and those who were members of the Israelite tribe scattered abroad. Because when he sent his disciples out in 10:6, he told them, but go rather only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and go not to those non-Israelites, or those who are heathen, but goy. But mistranslation will deceive the very elect. Although many pastors say this meant the lost Jews, but no, rather not to Israel, but to lost Jews, that's not what he said. Since the Greek word lost is used appropriately, it means to separate or to put away, which means to banish. Yahweh banished the house of Israel for their disobedience, scattered among the heathen, which now is known as Gentiles, and sent the disciples who were out of the house of Israel, all of them Galileans, by the way, except one which was a Jew, rejected, because the Bible says his father was Simon the Canaanite. So, Judah, if we want to de-Hellenize the word, Judah had a Canaanite bloodline. It's right there. His father was Simon the Canaanite. Now, if Simon was his father, would that make Judas a Canaanite? Of course it would. Do you think that Yahweh was going to save Judas? I've had people say, oh, I believe he was saved. The 10 tribes have completely lost their identity as Israelites. Hence, we put the main emphasis on Judah and call them Jews and acknowledge them as God's chosen people and deny that the house of Israel is scattered among the heathen when the Jews come back and name their country Israel. Why are they going to do that for? Why do they want to name it Israel if there's no Israelite to be found among them, then they're all Jews? Now, if you remember when Paul wanted to take his missionary efforts to Asia, you'll read Acts 16, verse 6, he was constrained by the Holy Spirit to send him north and west. Why? Because it was here in these areas that the lost sheep of the house of Israel were to be found. All the epistles of Paul in the New Testament were written to these lost sheep. And again, if you look at James 1 and 1, as I quoted last night in my lecture, James, a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. The book of Hebrews was written specifically to the lost sheep. It was not written to those who were known as Gentiles or to those who called themselves Jews, but whom the resurrected Savior referred to as those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of the house of Satan, as we overlook the fact that Judah spawned, or Judah laid with a serpent race, a bloodline Canaanite. Nobody preaches about the Canaanites today. They don't exist. It's a figment of Yahweh's imagination. Yahweh's got a complex. He hates the Canaanites. You know we ought to love them. God loves everybody. Jesus does. So Jesus and God must be two different ones. It was not written to those who were known as Gentiles or to those who called themselves Jews, it was written to the Hebrews, the Israelites, to whom the promises were made. You know that the epistles of Paul, which He writes, and many things are hard to understand. That's why people have got the wrong understanding. Where do you find the epistles of Paul and John? They're not in the homes of the Jews. Do you think they read them? They wouldn't be caught dead with a New Testament. They're not found in the hotel rooms of occupied Palestine. You go to King David Hotel in Jerusalem, you think you're going to find a Paul's epistles? They're in the homes of white Christians and in the hotels and motels in Christian lands, particularly America and England, the two sons that Jacob blessed, preferring Ephraim, the firstborn, and Ephraim was his firstborn. Ephraim is Israel. Manasseh is Israel. One is America and one is Great Britain. Now, who were the foremost evangelizing people on earth, carrying the kingdom message of the Messiah? Who was it? Not the Jewish people, but the white Christian people of America and Great Britain. 90% of all the Christian literature advocating a risen Savior, and 98% of all Christian missionary efforts had gone out from these two countries. Now why? Because they are fulfilling the covenant that I read with you when we started, and they became known as Gentiles, and it's absurd. I showed you the absurdity of saying, I'll make you a great Gentile nation. It was Israel scattered abroad, those that were lost, the prodigal son who is now found. We need to make merry. We need to rejoice over this. We need to praise Yahweh. Now, if you know anything about history, and I ain't got time to give a detailed lecture, I'd like to. I could do a 12-part series on this and cover most of it, but I still wouldn't cover it all. After the death of Solomon, the 12th tribe, House of Israel, was divided into 10 tribes, House of Israel, and two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and the tribe of Levi, divided between the two factions. The northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by the Assyrians, and they were taken captivity along with most of Judah, Jerusalem, and the remaining Judites. They were later conquered by Babylon, and they themselves were taken into captivity, 50,000. They returned after 70 years to rebuild the temple, and they basically returned with a new religion. And the Hebrews of the Israelites escaped the corruption of Babylon, held true to their identity, but lost it in the meantime. And this was all Yahweh's plan, that later, that by the foolishness of preaching, he would draw all those who lift him up. And tonight I'm lifting him up to you to tell you you're more than a Gentile. You just could possibly be one of those many people that were taken into captivity, your ancestors could have been those erring Israelites who lost their way, and today you become known as Goyim, Gentiles, heathen, but in reality you are a sheep, a chosen one, and need to return to the Father. Well, you got my message tonight. May Yahweh richly bless you. May He keep you, and may you prosper. I'm sponsored tonight, around the world tonight, by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. Also, I was sponsored last night by Brother Paul. It was storming. I didn't get the time to get his acknowledgments in there. Brother Paul, in the great state of Michigan, 1-800-253-2748. And I would appreciate it if you give Brother Paul a call. He's a good man. You'll love him. And order his products. He's got some interesting products that you may be interested in to help defray the cost of the sponsorship of the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. You'll hear it live with truth. Now, our festival is coming up next month. We're in the month of April. We'll be convening the second Passover on the 15th of the month of May. We'll meet here at the King's Gate Inn in Sweetwater, Tennessee. Call for directions if you plan to come. We'll give you exact location for your GPS system, or we'll give you a map system where you can simply, it's very easy to find. I'll go over with it to you individually in detail about where we're at, where you can come. You'll be welcome to attend the festival. Foot washing, an old-fashioned foot washing, beginning on Sunday night. That's May the 15th. We will commence a foot washing service with a welcome, with a quickly throw-together meal, probably sandwiches and stuff that the ladies have made up for you, whatever that we've got. So you won't have to go out and eat. We'll wash feet after the fact, and we will fellowship, and we will make ourselves clean and ready for the beginning of the next day, which will be the 16th, which will be the Feast of Passover. That means that we will kill the lamb according to the rituals of the covenant that is found written in Leviticus chapter 23 and in Exodus chapter 12 and in Numbers chapter 9. We hope and trust that you can make plans to attend with us in these hard times, these bad times. You need to find a place to get closer to Him. Pray and seek His face. That's what we plan to do. Come and join us in worship and Bible teaching, old-fashioned foot washing, and fellowship biblically proven in the Scriptures. We love you, and we love Yahweh. We love to keep His commandments. Come and join us from the beginning of the night of the 17th, going through the 24th, we'll celebrate the 7 days of unleavened bread and hope that you can join us. We'll convene every day with, like I say, Bible studies and things of that nature. And I think you'll go away blessed. Everybody always is blessed. Now, last year we had a working festival, and I mean we worked. This time we got plenty of work, but we'll take off a little bit and be able to worship. We've at least got a roof over our head. Maybe not all the work will be done. It sort of aggravates me. I think it should be done, and I think it would have been if we had more people concerned to help us. We ask you for help, and if you didn't help, then that's on your conscience and your shoulders. If you did, may Yahweh richly bless you. We don't hold it against you for not helping us. We just pray that you could see the reality of support and truth principle. Just like tonight, we have preached you the difference of the word. You've got this lecture. You'll never hear it in a Judeo-Christian church. It don't come forth. Why? Because they don't want you to know. who you are, and you just could be one of those lost sheep from the house of Israel. Well, write me tonight, Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. My number here is 423-351-1082. Go to our website. That's oneyahweh.com. Brother Bob has got it functioning quite well, and we are truly blessed with our website. Praise Yahweh. It's a delight, and we hope that you enjoy it. We've got a comment page there. If you'd like to comment, send Bob a comment. It really makes him feel good. Praise Yahweh. And it blesses us all to have your comments, pro or con, negative or positive. We don't care. We'll take your criticism, and that's what we like to have, constructive. If it's sent in other ways, well, Yahweh will meet you somewhere with that. So, Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRV 3.185 on 2.390 as we move over to this new channel, 2.390. Hope that we're being simulcast tonight on internet. And Yahweh bless you is our prayer. And may he keep you in the coming kingdom, which is coming soon. Don't let him find you eating and drinking with the drunken, keeping wrong feasts, wrong dates. May you be blessed to keep the lunar, not the Babylonian. May you know the scriptures to be taught by a preacher that knows, that's been through the trenches, hand-to-hand combat and warfare. You won't really remember all the wars that you've been through in this long life, but I can remember some that were quite exciting, trying to prove all things, standing true with patience, waiting on the coming kingdom, loving everybody that you can, pressing toward the mark and the high calling, which is in our Savior, Creator, Yahweh. He's coming back. He prophesied. He put these things in motion and waited to see who would obey. Yahweh bless you. Tomorrow night, 9:00. Well, let's make that 10:00 Eastern Standard Time. 9:00 Central to 10:00 Eastern on WWRB. Yahweh bless you.